Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Summer going okay?
Going great.
Good. I hope you're not dealing with any patients or people with depression, although it is a common symptom. We know that when someone comes in, we get sort of a gut feeling that they may be depressed. And our first step is to diagnose that depression. And there are lots of tools and sort of strategies for how we make such a diagnosis. If they are depressed, the next step is to decide with the patient whether they want to undergo treatment. Sort of two different categories. One is psychotherapy, hopefully to include cognitive behavioral therapy. The other, some sort of medication therapy. If one medication doesn't work, antidepressant combinations are generally used for major depression that's resistant to one type of monotherapy. This add-on pharmacotherapy is often necessary because we don't really acknowledge that initial treatment with a single antidepressant leads to remission in only about a third of patients, meaning that two-thirds of them aren't going to benefit. Now, when it comes to this adjunctive pharmacotherapy, there are lots of options. You can choose a second antidepressant. You can choose a second generation antipsychotic. Some people might choose lithium. Hopefully, most people would consider, if they haven't already, some type of adjunctive psychotherapy. When we do combine two antidepressants for treatment for depression that's resistant, we know that retrospective studies of patients for depression found that about 10% of patients are given this second augmentation. What happens when people don't respond to at least two courses of treatment with two different drugs? Well, that's the point of your article. It comes from the British Journal of Psychiatry, published in 2019. It starts on page 42, and it helps to answer the question, is augmentation treatment effective for patients with treatment-resistant depression? Mark, the meta-analysis they did, does it help us?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it reinforces my perception about the efficacy of these augmentation therapies. And it's a meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials. And they focused on treatment-resistant depression, and which, as you said, was defined as unresponsive to two different treatments of adequate dose and length. The authors searched databases to find randomized studies for patients who didn't respond to at least two courses of treatment for major depressive disorder. Two authors selected the studies, they extracted the data, and then used consensus to kind of agree on what they had extracted. Most of the 28 studies with 5,461 patients had low to moderate risk of bias, which is good. That means they were medium to high quality. And they included both drug treatment and psychological therapies as adjuncts. Instead of comparing directly across treatments, the benefit in one group versus the other, the authors compared the before-after change in results within each group and then compared those to each other. In three low-quality studies, psychological treatment showed a moderate benefit. There were four studies of aripiprazole, I think that's Zyprex, if I remember correctly, and there was a small likelihood of benefit after short-term treatment. The effect size was only 1.3 compared to placebo, so just a little bit better than placebo. Lithium produced an effect size similar to placebo. So the evidence that treatment-resistant depression response to augmentation with psychotherapy, lithium, or aripiprazole, which is a second-generation antipsychotic, is relatively weak. The available evidence doesn't show benefit from lithium and only a small benefit from psychotherapy and the second generation antipsychotic. So not great evidence. And I think we have to keep in mind that these second generation antipsychotics do have pretty considerable side effects, weight gain, other side effects. And so I think if we are thinking about augmentation, and we do have pretty good evidence that the combination of drugs and cognitive behavioral therapy is better than drugs alone, that we should probably try to turn to adjunctive psychotherapy first.
Yeah, great point. I mean, I noticed regularly lots of folks are using these newer antipsychotics. They seem to be quite frequent. The problem, though, in practice, right, is that it's really hard sometimes to find any kind of psychotherapist, and then one that is particularly skilled in some of these evidence-based approaches is even harder. So it isn't so much that doctors don't know this as it's just the healthcare system isn't built to deal with these kind of problems.
Yeah, I think increasingly we may see app-based and internet-based approaches to cognitive behavioral therapy or using telemedicine or things like that. In fact, it's not for depression, it's for weight loss, but there's an app that's being advertised called Noom, and it turns out it's actually cognitive behavioral therapy to help people lose weight. And so I think that is kind of starting to hit the mainstream. By the way, it's Abilify. The aripiprazole is Abilify. I just wanted to clarify that for our readers. I got it wrong the first time.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.